All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, December 2nd of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a three-game NHL main slate. We have a four-game NBA main slate. And then we have Monday Night Football as well. So three sports coming at you tonight. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use a Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. We do have our build review show today and Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. So you can always get signed up for that by dropping your DK username in the Office Hours channel, letting me know what sport and slate you want me to review for you. So that's what we got on the schedule here. A couple questions that came in over our long break here for Thanksgiving. So we're just going to go through these one at a time. I think the first one here came in from Bulldog. So let me get SaberSim up on the screen, and then we will jump into this. All right. First question. Moving this question over here to see if I can get the group's thoughts. As someone who uses Contest Flashback but has never gone deeper than that, what's the best use of an export of the historical data? Is there a separate program that you'd upload that to for more insight, or do most people perform their own manual analysis in Excel? Good question. I am a bit of a novice here in this field, but my understanding is you could do this a couple different ways. One, you could do something in Excel, or you could do it in something like Anaconda. If you're familiar with like Python and things like that, you know, you could use like a Jupyter notebook and bring in the CSV. Then you got to like clean the data and, you know, get rid of any values or anything that like you don't want, or like mess with your analysis. And I think people are doing one of those two things, right? They're either have some type of coding background and they are able to look at trends across contests over a period of time, right? Like that's why with SaberSim Elite, one of the new features is historical contest data exports, like for over the past year. That way you're getting a lot of data and you can test across many, many slates over that period of time. So I think that's what people are doing. I'm not 100% sure what people are doing in Excel, but one of those two things. I do think Contest Flashback still does a good job of saying like, hey, you know, there are this many of these type of stacks in this contest, right? And then you could go and compare that across against a different contest. Like, hey, if I look at this $1 single entry, how do the lineups differ from the $100 single entry, right? Like it is that type of analysis that led to all of our different ownership buckets being created, right? Like we did back testing across all of these contests. And like, that's why we have high stakes single entry versus low stakes single entry. We see the differences in these contests, the way that players are building their lineups, and we're trying our best to account for those. All right. Good stuff there. Next question. This is a long one, but we'll get through it. Jordan recommended that I put this in Office Hours for the next stream. For anyone interested in it, hello, I don't know if I should DM someone or not, but I need a little help understanding some of these questions. They go as following. I've been building my own metric tab all year for NFL, and I need to have an in-depth conversation with a dev to better understand the following. Where can I learn what these do exactly? Some geo mean average when inputting categories. I want my metric to sim around. What is the correct weight distribution? Should I be waiting to equal one total, i.e. if I have four categories, should I be weighting like 50, 25, 25, 25 based on importance to me? Or is there a weight max limit when using my metric? Should I be using ascending or descending? What exactly do they do, or where can I find that information? Okay, so a question around custom metrics in general. So why don't we just build some lineups here? And you know what? 5,000 lineups is fine because I got to go grab something else. So even I keep notes on some of this stuff because it can't. That I keep handy here. Let me go find that. Okay, so we're going to talk about rank ascending, descending first, and then we will talk about some of the geomean stuff. But here, this is like some notes that I've written down here. So when you are using rank descending, your highest graded lineup is going to have one, and then your lowest graded lineup is going to have 500 or however many lineups you have in your pool. When you use rank ascending, your highest score is going to have the biggest number, and then your lowest score is going to have the smallest number, right? So like, there's two lines of thinking. Imagine we're creating a projection filter, right? And we'll just do one. So I come in here and then I go to sorting metrics. And then I go to add metric. And then let's say I'm doing projection sum rank descending. So according to my notes, my highest projected lineup will get one. And then my lowest projected lineup will get 5,000 since I have 5,000 lineups in my pool. So we could test this, right? So I'm expecting highest ranked lineup to have a one here, right? And it looks like my top lineup, even via Saber score, is my highest projected lineup, which I can go to projected score and change it and verify that. So projected score, highest to lowest, which is the down arrow, right? This would be high to low with the arrow pointing down. My metric value here is one. And then I could even rename it, right? So this is my metric. I'll just name Proj. And then if I change the name, what I need to do is I need to resort my lineups. So I just change to another metric. That way the table updates. And then change back. And then now my proj is one, right? So then let's say I go and change this, right? And it's like, okay, hey, I want to use descending. Or instead of descending, I want to use ascending. I would switch my sorting again. Switch back. And here, right? Now my highest projected score lineup is my biggest number, right? And some people might say, hey, why is the number 5,031? The builder doesn't have a hard cap of however many lineups are in your pool. It has a soft cap, so sometimes it can build a little bit extra. So that's why you might see this go, you know, 1% over or something like that. Or like sometimes you trash lineups and then you look at like your trash plus your pool and it doesn't add up exactly to 5,000 or 500 or whatever. The builder can always build a little bit more. So here I have 31 extra lineups that you can't see here, but they are present. All right. So those are some rank ascending, descending basics. Now, the other thing that you need to be aware of, which I have this here, right? So we understand rank ascending, descending. If you're using rank descending and you want a high number, better to So here I'm sorting by projected score, right? Well, what if I was sorting by my metric, right? My proj metric. So high to low using ascending would be good, right? But if I switch this inverse, now this one is my lowest projected lineup, right? So the up arrow doesn't really make sense doing it the way I'm doing it right now, where I'm using rank ascending. But if I'm using rank descending, this would actually make sense. So let me switch and switch back. Okay, wait, high to low. So when I'm using descending and using high to low, my top projected lineup is my lowest number. And then I think it's the other way where it changes. So you just, the best thing to do in these cases, in my opinion, is always to mimic a stat that is already here, change these things around, and mess with some of these different buttons at your disposal and figure out what gets you what. And that is effectively how I wrote these notes, right? Where I was like, okay, if I'm using rank descending, but I want a high number for my custom metric, it's better to use low to high. But then if I'm using descending and I want a low number, better to use high to low. And then I did the same for ascending, right? If I'm using ascending and I want a high number, use high to low. If I'm using ascending and want a low number, use low to high. So like, you know, you just got to sit here and play with it and then write it down however it makes sense to you, right? But those are the ways that it made sense to me. So like those are some of my notes. So that's the part for like the ascending, descending stuff. There were two other parts to this question. What exactly do some geomean average do? So first you got to create a custom metric. And then your first variable is my own. You have three options. Some product average. It depends what number you're picking, right? So basically what happens here, and we'll use ownership as an example. This is the variable that the builder's going to look for. These are your mathematical options. And then this is how you want the number displayed, right? So for instance, if I click my ownership, if I click some value, what that's going to do, it's going to add up all of the ownerships for the players. And then it's going to put them in the summary statistic. Product geomean is going to multiply them together. It's going to solve the geomean, which means it's going to multiply them together and then take them to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup, which for this DK NBA lineup is 8 players. And then average is going to add them all up and then divide by the total number. So it's going to find the effectively your mean player ownership here, right? And then that would work the same for all of the variables here, right? And then you have some other options here. You could do rank, which rank would do is give each lineup a score of 1 to 500, the same way we did for ascending, descending, right? That's how we talked about it, like 1 versus however many lineups are in your pool. Value is going to be what you see here that we did for the projection, right? Or if we did my own sum value and I just save this, right? And then I resort. Doesn't matter how. So I did it under the geomean one, but this 278, right? That is the same as the sum ownership here, right? 278. So it is just adding all those up. If I do it to geomean, I do value, sort. So it goes from 278 down to 32.8, right? This is what you would get if you were multiplying all of these together and then taking them to the power of 1 divided by 8. And then the average would change again, right? So those are what those are doing. And that's value, right? So we've gone through rank, value. Normalized value and max scaled value are a little bit different. So what normalized value does is say that this is the highest ownership lineup. That would get a score of 100. And then every lineup thereafter would get a score that's a little bit lower, a little bit lower, a little bit lower. So then, you know, 99.6, 90, 98.7, right? Max scaled value is basically saying that the biggest value any lineup can have is 100. It works similar to normalized, where the numbers don't go above 100, but for max scale, you can have more than one lineup that is 100, as opposed to normalized where every number gets like an individualized value, is my understanding. So hopefully that helps you to understand what's going on there. And then last part of this question was, should I be waiting to equal one total? I have four categories. If I have four categories, should I be waiting like 50, 25, 25 based on importance to me, or is there a weight max limit? So there's no limit, right? This is legitimately a mathematical formula. So for instance, if I came in here and I said, hey, show me my projection sum value, right? If I click save, this is just going to equal the same as the projection, right? So projection and projected score, basically the same, minus one decimal point. Well, I could just come in here. And then what happens if I weight it by two instead of one? Well, what's going to happen is we're just going to multiply it by two. So then now my projection should be double whatever my projected score is, right? So 289 goes up to 578. So, you know, 289 times two is 578, right? So that's what's happening here. You should be able to track that if you're using value, right? There is no right answer here. You know, custom metrics are really more art than science, and they're here so people can, you know, when they're not liking the output or they're not agreeing, you know, this gives you the ability to come in here and have a hand in what variables are used, how much they're weighted, and the effect that they have on your exposures in the lineups that you play, right? So I think using that example of like, hey, letting everything add up to one, honestly, it makes sense in my head, right? I'm like, okay, you know, if I just do all these different things and get it to sum up to one, you know, that might work, right? But if you're using, you know, my projection value, and then you're using ownership rank, and you have 5,000 lineups, well, one lineup in your pool is going to be have a 5,000. The rank one ends up outweighing all the other variables. So you got to figure out like, hey, what is the actual number being used and how much of an impact do I want that number to have on the overall formula, which is basically why we have normalized and max scaled. That way, you know, your weight can be at most 100 for any individual variable here. If you're trying to have different variables with equal weight, right? So you could have, you know, three variables, do normalize for all of them. And, you know, at least one lineup has a score of 100 for that variable. And then you could add weights if you want, right? Like, well, I want this one to count, you know, 1.5 times as much, right? You set the weight to 1.5 and you would do something like that. So that's what I would recommend. But a lot of this, you know, we don't have guidelines on it, right? Like there's nothing that says, you know, this is how to use it. If we thought there was a better sorting metric, we would just give it to you guys, right? But this is for the people that want to go in there and want to do their own thing. They think that they can build something that more reflects how they want their lineups to look, and like, you know, more power to you, go for it. You know, that's why it's here. But those are just the way some of these things work. All right. Good question there. Next question here from Great White Shark. Worked on my NFL game, have followed all your advice on metrics to look at and studied sharks, achieving very high sim ROIs, sim average scores, low dupes, yet to have a big day this season. And I know the grind of DFS means it takes many, many slates, but are there other metrics worth assessing in contest review beyond these few I listed that you've consistently looked at in build reviews that could represent a big leak to plug? Okay, this is great, right? So I think that, you know, this user is definitely on the right path, right? They are having high sim ROIs. They're looking at all the metrics that matter, right? What I would probably say is, what can you look at? So one thing that comes to mind, which you're not going to be able to do this in SaberSim, but is looking at your top 1% ROI equity, right? And it's like, hey, you know, how many of your lineups are you putting in the top 1% of the contest that you're playing, right? Just having that data point could be another good thing to look at, right? So I've shared this before. This is a hypothetical ROI spreadsheet. So basically here, right, this fourth row is your top 1% ROI rate. And then row 8 here is your hypothetical ROI based on how many lineups you're putting in the top 1%, assuming that there is a 15% rake in the contest. So this makes a little bit of sense, right, when you think about it this way. Because if there's a 15% rake, that means that you need to be above 1.15 top 1% rate to break even, right? You have to win back the 15% that the sites are taking. So that's why 1.2% is a 4% ROI and 1.1% is a negative 4% ROI. So the best site I know of where to track your top 1% equity is RotoTracker. They have a free option only for like 750 entries. And then anything beyond that, you have to pay. So it is a paid service, but can help you to look at your top 1% finish rates and let you know, like, hey, you know, if I play enough slates, you know, this is what I can expect to win, like, on average here. So, you know, I'll reference this, like, from time to time. Like, I did an example last week where I was looking at my NBA top 1% ROI to date this season, and I was at 2.1%. And to be clear, I'm like a negative 20% ROI this NBA season, right? Like, I've had a couple of bad runouts, and, you know, it's crazy how, like, one contest going slightly differently, like, can shift around, you know, that entire thing. But I'm comfortable with my process, right? I'm seeing a lot of the same things you are. Like, hey, my sim ROI is good. My sim average scores are good. My dupes are good, you know, and I am having, like, a down, you know, too much, right? And, like, that's okay. We're not that far into the NBA season. So this can just help you to have some peace of mind, you know, thinking about this. If you guys ever want me to share this spreadsheet, I can. It was created by Nelson Adcock, so shout out to him. All right. Hope that helps. Got a build review request for this afternoon. We will definitely get to that. All right. Next question. I'm just going to get both these questions in here. All right. First question. Hey, Andrew. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. Hope you did too. I'm still struggling to understand how to implement GeoMean properly, especially across multiple contests on a given slate. Should I be adding up all the entrants across all the contests I'm playing into the formula, or should I be implementing GeoMean on a per contest basis across the slate? I do have access to contest sims. Okay, so I understand where you're having trouble, right? The hard part with using GeoMean the way that we talk about, right, is where you do the formula based on the contest that you're optimizing for, right? What if you have contests of different sizes is basically another way of asking this question. And the truth is there's no one right answer. I'll tell you a couple ways I'll think about it. Number one is just do the GeoMean based on your biggest contest, right? The most entries you have, because then you're going to have this trickle down effect of, if you're doing GeoMean based on that one big contest, then the duplication rate that you're expecting for your other lineups is actually going to be even less, because that GeoMean that you use was a lower value, right? So if I am optimizing for a 95,000 person entry and I'm also playing a 40,000, well, the chances are the lineup is going to be good for the 40,000 too, because you optimize it based on a bigger contest, right? So that's one way of thinking about it, is your biggest contest. You can do the contest you care the most about, right? You have, you know, most of your entry fees in one contest or something like that. You could do it based on that contest. You could do every single contest. It does get, you know, pretty time consuming to do it that way, unfortunately. So that's one of the drawbacks of doing it that way. But you could, you know, do every single contest one by one. The way I do it which, you know, is probably cutting corners, and I know it's cutting corners, is I just filter out the bottom 10 to 20% of Geomine lineups, or I filter out the highest 10 to 20% Geomine lineups and just use that filtered down pool for all of my contests. So, you know, there's drawbacks to each way. Some of them are going to take more time. Some of them are going to save time, but not be as specific. Those are the ways that I would think about it. One of those four, right? So highest entry contest, highest entry fee contest or contest you care the most about, blanket filtering out 10 to 20%, or number four, going contest by contest and doing the formula specifically for each contest that you have in your contest list. All right, next question. When late swapping for NBA on starter plan, what would you sort by and why? I see we get live ownership for the flagship and live projections do show up, but are they doing anything for a late swap build on starter plan when using Saber Score? Okay, so two questions. So number one, what sorting metrics should you use? I would stick with using Saber Score, right? I wouldn't be changing to anything else. And then number two here, you said sort by and why, so I'll honor that. It's still the best sorting metric, right? I mean, given your options of projected score, ownership, salary, some of those percentiles, you know, Saber Score is still accounting for some ownership is one of the variables. Percentile is one of the variables. And then average adjusted ownership is one of the variables as well, right? So you're getting that projection, upside, ownership, trifecta with Saber Score. And I think it's going to be superior to any of your other options. Number two, are the live projections doing anything for your late swap build? No. So the live projections only affect the contest sim ROIs. And the reason is because when you're building lineups, you know, basically what we're doing is after lock, we're looking at the games that have started. We're graying out those players on your table. And then when we build your lineups, we lock those players in and we say, hey, you know, this lineup has these positions left in this much salary. We go and we grab the sims, we play them out, and then we say, okay, based on the positional availability and salary left, who in the sims did good to put into this lineup? And then we fill out the rest of the lineup. The players that are already locked have no impact on the rest of your lineup being built. Those are just set in stone and they're there. So the live projections wouldn't do anything. They don't do anything in lineup building process on Ultimate either. Okay, those were the two questions. And last thing, live projections do not affect Saber Score either. And live ownership does not affect Saber Score either. So just to be clear on those. All right, jumping over to the YouTube chat. One here. Hey, in NBA late swap, how do we manage exposures to players when building my first build? I set exposure and it's saved. But when I late swap, I can't save a player exposure. Okay, so one of the easiest things to do is in the late swap modal. Oh, man, I don't really have a late swap. Let me see something. What could we do? Okay, I have an idea. I want to show like the late swap modal. All right, so this is our YouTube. So we did a video talking about the late swap changes. So I want to see if I can find that. Okay, right here. So this is what the late swap looks like, right? This is like the new late swap. So in this bottom left, in this drop down that he has right here, there's multiple options, right? Your settings is default. This means like clean slate, you know, all the Saber Sim original values, no changes. You can select a build where you made changes from. So if you set so you don't have to redo all your exposure adjustments, is just go into the settings and select build two And then that way it will effectively clone those or copy those over to your late swap build. So that is the best way to maintain exposures, projection changes, rules, filters, player pool, you know, checking, unchecking, all of those things will get captured when you do it this way. So that's what I would recommend. All right. Rashid says, is there a way to filter hockey stacks by lines, or is there a way to eliminate teams' different line swaps without it selecting unselecting players? So there's not a great way to go line by line right now for NHL. This is something we've talked about, right? So like basically our team stack functionality is the same for like MLB versus NHL. And we're talking about, you know, how can we make this like more sport specific? We're like, hey, you know, three-man stacks are great to know in like MLB, but we don't really care about team stacks in NHL. We care about line stacks, right? So we don't care if everybody on, you know, who's on the Blues and it's a three stack. We care, like, are they on the same line? So I would expect to see some product and feature like enhancements around some of that sport specific stuff in the future. You know, that's something that we're talking about here now that we got this like big late swap update out the door. But we do want to provide more line specific tools for our NHL product. All right. We are at the moment, from what I can tell, caught up here in the Discord and the YouTube chat. But what I forgot to do at the beginning of the show is it is Monday, so we do have to announce the winners for our weekly max challenge for this past Sunday's NFL slate. So let me get that up here and we will jump into this while we wait for more questions to roll in. So let me get the max challenge up and we'll get our sheet up, announce some winners, give away some prizes. All right. All right, cool. So SaberSim Max Challenge, we got to do our giveaways for week 13 here. So got to announce our top finisher and our random entrant for to receive free tickets or free entry to next week's Minimax here. So our top finisher of the week was AC Legend 89 with a 15th place finish. 196.66 points. That is good for a custom SaberSim hoodie and an entry into our end of the season 25K big game free roll to win tickets to the Super Bowl. And then for everyone else who participated, let's grab all these names. And it looks like we have 246 people on the list. Going to drop them all into our wheel of names here. It's quite the lengthy list. All right, 246 updated here at the top. Going to click shuffle two times, and we're going to spin here to see who gains free entry into next week's Minimax. All right, winner is going to be Timothy and Stacy. Congratulations. So for the winners, our team will reach out to Timothy and Stacy. Our support team will reach out to you and let you know about claiming your prizes. So appreciate everybody continuing to participate in that max challenge there. All right. And we got at least one more here from William. So just clarifying on SaberScore, not using live ownership, I can change my own to live flagship. So it seems like it may on starter plan. That is. Okay. So let's pull up SaberSim. We could actually test this now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more. So let's go back to a past slate. And we'll just go to yesterday's NBA slate. Should work fine. Let's go to build lineups. All right, let's make sure we have live ownership. We do. Cool. Let's go build 500 lineups. Okay, so the way the Sabre score formula works, right? And we can just test this by looking at our top projected lineup. So there's three variables, right? Some projection, percentile, average adjusted ownership, right? So average adjusted ownership changes based on the values in the my own column. So if I manually change Max Christie from 57% to 20%, his adjusted ownership goes from 53 down to 19, right? What I don't know is if I change this my own via the gear from flagship MME to flagship MME live, so the Christie went from like 57, I think, to 32. So that affected the adjusted ownership. So since this is affecting the adjusted ownership, it is also affecting the Sabre score of the lineup. So I would actually agree here that changing your ownership source from flagship MME to flagship MME live does indeed affect the Sabre score after a sort, right? So what I would do is either one, change this before you build the lineups, or if you change it after, the way we were doing like the demo earlier, right, with all the different custom metrics, and what we had to do was we had to change it and then change it back. I would just make sure to select another sorting metric and then switch it back to the metric that you were on. And then that should Intune update the Sabre score that you're viewing. So if adjusted ownership is changing, then that means it's having an impact on the formula. So whether you change it by hand, change the source, if you use flagship MME live, that will impact the Sabre score. All right. Thanks for the follow-up, William. Another follow-up with the late swap. I understand the clone build, but if the optimizer picks new players, it doesn't let you manually set that player's exposure. So if one player is 40% owned, I can't change it. Okay. What I would do So do me a favor, next time you're in SaberSim, come to the top right corner, go to report a problem, write a description of the issue you're running into here, and then submit this. This will go to our team, and then we can basically review it a little bit closer and make a better determination about, one, either like what steps you should take, how to do it, or even possibly like review for like an update, or like if it's a bug, or figure out, hey, how do we make this simpler? So if you could do that for us, that would probably be the best path forward. All right. Good stuff. So looks like we're all caught up here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. I'll be back in about 20 minutes for the Build Review Show. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will see you all very, very soon. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.